about that? Is that up high enough? Does that need to go up higher? All right. Wow. I've had an interesting week. I'm sure yours have been as well. Got to see Charles and Pam's former pastor and pastor's wife a couple days ago. We were in the, every year Connie and I go away for a Shepherding the Shepherd conference. And it's basically an opportunity for pastors to get together and be ministered to and shared with, and it's a good thing. We've been doing it, I think, for 20 years, the same conference. I think we missed two or three over the last 20 years. And it's always a blessing to just be poured into and ministered to by, you know, other folks in the ministry. And we were blessed to have that time together. I've had that as a part of my week that was good and interesting and fun, challenging in some ways. I'll share a little bit about that in just a second. But very encouraging in other ways. In addition, I've been walking through a bit of pain. You know, some of y'all understand what it means like to go through pain. And when you're in pain, it affects you more than you realize. You know, you kind of get drained physically, get fatigue, and you don't even realize it. I had 10 days ago stepped through a hole in the floor and at a property we own. And when I did, I hit my shin, and I hit it pretty aggressively, I guess you'd say. And it pulled the muscle off the bone a little bit and created a little bit of an infection. And so, you know, just taking antibiotics and ibuprofen and all that kind of stuff. Been a weird thing. I'll get up. Actually, today's been the best day I've had, so praise the Lord for that. But you get up in the first four or five steps, you're hurting, and then after a while it calms down. It's kind of weird. So I've been going right on like nothing's been going on. And yesterday a doctor told me you probably shouldn't be going on like nothing's going on. So I'm going to try to heed that advice a little bit. But as a result, you know, it's kind of caused me to be slower in my thinking about things. And, you know, another interesting thing this week, you know, I've had more already this year than is normal for a year, wherein you think you know where you're headed and what you're supposed to be doing, and then you kind of get a redirection. And so I had that happen again this week. I think it's the third time this year already, where I think I know where the Lord wants me to go. I was planning. I mean, the elders heard me last Wednesday. I'm going to be starting 1 John. Well, it's not supposed to be 1 John in here. It's supposed to be 1 John in my Sunday school class, and that's what we're doing. So, but I thought I was first start 1 John in here. So then after that, I had some other. I sat yesterday morning, two mornings ago, sat in a hotel room just seeking the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, if I'm not supposed to be in 1 John in the sanctuary, it'd be nice to know where I'm supposed to be. So I'm praying and thinking and seeking the Lord and get about 10 weeks of outlines within about an hour and a half of messages I'm pretty sure the Lord wants me to head into. But at the end of it all, hearing from the Lord, but not now. Well, no, wait a minute. So later on, somewhere down the road this year, I'm sure, that we're going to go through seeing the heart of God as he walks through the Old Testament and looking at seeing God's heart in the midst of it. Not just what he did, but what was his heartbeat in the midst of it. And I'm looking forward to that. But so still seeking the Lord after that, you know, what's going on here? And having conversations with different individuals. And it began to kind of crystallize, I don't know, yesterday afternoon. And then really kind of culminated last night and this morning of what I felt like the Lord was really leading me into. And it's really about us learning to hear how God wants to use us all individually in different ways. And to remember that we're different and we're different for a reason. And it's okay. Now, this sermon is not about building a mindset of support for your personal individualism. That's not what I'm saying. But it is about recognizing that God makes us different and brings us through all different works of life and takes all that mess, as we know so well in Romans 8:28, and turns it around for the good because we love him and we're called according to his purpose. And the verse of scripture God took me to and the passage to kind of help us get a handle of this is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, that we might do good works. And that God has always intended it to be that way. And if you look at the passage prior to that verse, it really is a context that talks about how God brings you to himself, through the work of Christ. And that in the process of that, he's taking who you were and making you a new person. And then he even goes into the verses, just a couple of verses prior to and after the verse I just read. He lets us know in the context of that passage that we were totally different than other people that he brought to himself. And he isolates the issues of how the Jews came to him, who were near already, but still not where they needed to be. They needed to be with him in Christ also. But then took those who were afar off, and by the Jews called the uncircumcision, even though they weren't walking as circumcised themselves, he points out, and says that here we are, two totally different people, but he's made us into one man. And in reality, God takes all kinds of different people in the world and brings them into one body. Now, what happens in some circles of Christianity, that idea of bringing us into one body ends up becoming and wants us to all be the same. Do you see where that happens sometimes in Christianity? It does. And I think that's not the context of the passage. We're not the same. What's that, Joe? One spirit in Christ, yeah. Wants us to accomplish what he's called us to accomplish in Christ. But I think, the more I study Scripture, and I'm going to show you some places I think supports it strongly, that he wants to use the way he's already allowed us to form in humanity for his glory. That's not to say that he confirms any sinful actions of our humanity. In no way does he do that. But that he takes who we are and how we are and uses that in the body of Christ. He takes what he's done in Christ and works us into Christ and then uses that for good works in the kingdom. That's his heartbeat toward us. So I'm thinking about, well, how does that look? How do we get a handle on that? You know, it's kind of like this. Charles will be able to confirm this for us. You get a guy that's building something, and let's say he's going to build a barn. There's 1,000 ways that barn could look. Still going to be a barn, though. He's going to build a barn. There's 1,000 kinds of materials that could be used in the building of that barn. It might have wood siding. It might have metal siding. It might have hardy board. Yeah. It might have, well, not likely to have vinyl siding, but it could be as a cover after it had some kind of harder surface on it. There's 1,000 ways that barn could, but it's still a barn. It still has a purpose. The purpose is made clear. And I think to that degree, God uses all of us to fulfill his perfect work in Christ. He wants us to be about the same purpose of ministering in the kingdom, wants us to be about the same purpose of blessing one another, wants us to be about the same purpose of serving one another, wants us to be about the same purpose of bringing glory to his name. But some of us is hardy plank, and some of us is steel siding, and some of us is wood, and that's okay. As a matter of fact, he wants it to be that way because we have an ability to impact each other differently because of that. And another illustration for you ladies that hate the building ideas. One of my least favorite shows are these food cooking shows. Yeah, they just make me hungry. But one of the things that's a great principle of this same point is this show where they, it's called a food cooking show. And they get these chefs together and they give them the same ingredients. Chopped, okay, yeah. So you get all the same ingredients, but they're not supposed to cook the exact same dish, are they? They're supposed to cook their version of the best dish they can come up with the same ingredients. And I'm always amazed at how different the dishes are between the cooks whenever I do see it, which is as little as possible. But that's the same kind of principle. I think that God's at work within us when we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And our lives look different, but the core principles are supposed to be the same. And he's going to take our individuality that's developed over life and somehow use it, now that you've been redeemed in Christ, somehow use that to the glory of his name. I think that's what he's after. But I think somehow in Christianity, we get caught up in this thing of us trying to all be just alike. Paul addressed it later in Corinthians, we'll look at it, but somehow we end up feeling like we're supposed to be identical, and we end up comparing ourselves one to another. And we end up saying that some people are super saints and some are not, whatever that is. And that somehow some people really have it all together and they're making a great impact for God, and then some maybe not so much. And, you know, when I go to these conferences I was telling you about, sometimes they're very encouraging and sometimes they're very discouraging. Because in some contexts we get around that group of the preachers who start making you feel like it's all supposed to look just like this. People asking me what we're doing. Yeah, no, y'all need to be doing this and this and this. I'm like, I'm glad you told me that. or maybe not. But somehow we get these ideas. Sometimes they tend to bring speakers that are the heroes of the way it's to be done, you know? And if you'll just go back and plug and play exactly the way they have, then you'll be, you know, quote, blowing and going for Christ like them, you know, all this kind of stuff. But then you have these other guys that sometimes end up being very encouraging, and they're able to help you to see, hey, you are the person God created to use just as you are. When I say just as you are, I don't mean in your sinfulness. Please don't go out and misquote me. I mean in who God has allowed you to become, and maybe molding and changing some things, probably will, but somehow has still taking this unique individual and seeking to use it in the body of Christ to the glory of his name. I think that's what God's about when he talks about using you as his workmanship in Christ Jesus for good works. And so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning and try to think about, well, how does that really happen in our life? What are the things that are important to keep mindful of if that's really going to be his place in our life? You're the person God's made, who you are, the way he's put you together. He's given you different characteristics than the person sitting right next to you. You're just not exactly the same. I mean, this may shock you. I know this is probably really going to shock you. Joel and I are not exactly alike. I mean, there's a lot of differences between us. And I could say that about anybody, right? Joanna and I mean, we're talking about people that I live life with, right? Should be just alike, right? No, we're not. This may really blow your mind. Connie and I are not just alike. That's hard for you to believe. Obviously, right? And yet God has specific ways he desires to use both of us. But somehow or another, if we're not careful within the body of Christ, we get this mindset of the person that's being perfectly used of God, and everybody should be just like that. And if they're not just like that, they're coming up short. Something's missing in the package. They're just not there yet. And I want to just shoot that dead if I can today. And say that God wants to take you right where you are, let you understand that you are created in Christ Jesus, so don't let that loose out of your mind. It's the redemptive work of Christ taking you where you are, and he wants to change what needs to be changed by the redemptive work of Christ, but then use who you are as he's made you to the glory of his name. Now, there's good and bad in that statement for you, depending on your frame of mind. Good in that it will liberate you to quit having to be like everybody else. Bad if you're looking for excuse to not be used of God. Okay? As you remove your excuses for not being used of God, because God's going to want to take you and use you just as you are, meaning that you have a purpose of being used by God in the kingdom of God. It may not look like anybody else's way, though. And that's okay. That's okay. So let that sink in a little bit. So how do we get our mind wrapped around there? First, you got to do this. You got to remember that you are His workmanship. And as long as you have any hesitancy to that understanding, you're going to function as if you're your own workmanship. And you're going to think that you get to decide to do whatever you want to do and don't want to do anytime you don't want to do it. And you won't have your mind wrapped around the reality that God has a purpose for you. And God wants you to know that you are His workmanship. He went through a lot of labor and effort to bring you into relationship with Him. And in bringing you into relationship with Him, how? Through what? Through Christ Jesus. Through the work on the cross. Through redeeming you and pulling you out of the lifestyle that you formerly were in. Paul talks about that in the previous 9 verses to this verse. Culminating it in the fact that you're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. Not thinking, letting you think that you somehow arrived by who you are. But that God did it all, and that He did it for a purpose, and that you are His handiwork. That's another way to say it. You are His handiwork. You know, throughout life, a lot of times we tend to think that there's things we wish were different. Anybody ever gone through that? I mean, honestly, I have to remind myself that God made this beautiful bald head. Yeah. Or that God made the features that I have and that they're good. And we tend a little bit to look at the things that we think ought to be different. And if we would just slow down and be, you know, just a little bit more intelligent for a second, we'd realize that God made what you are. Are you going to look Him in the face and say, "Hey, you messed up"? I'm not about to say that. I have a little bit too much healthy fear of God to say that. Can you stop for a moment and look at who you are as God's handiwork? I'm just talking about in the physical right now, right? And look at that and say, "Hey, this is who I am, and God made me like I am, and that's good." Now, there are things that we have throughout our life, maybe not handled well with what God made, and we've made a worse scenario of what God really made. And we got to get honest about that, right? We got to get honest about that. That's not what God made, and then we deformed. God didn't necessarily intend it to be that way. And sometimes God takes that and shows us that and says, "Hey, let me get you back to this place." But the core of who we are, and I want to even later talk a little bit about personalities. Personalities in many ways are formed, but in many ways they're innate. And we'll talk a little bit about that, how God uses things in the way that He's made you. But we got to first get a hold of the idea. I am His workmanship. What's that mean then? That means He gets to decide how I get to be used. I'm His workmanship. And as long as I can wrap my heart around that, I can live with purpose. I can live with an awareness that God wants to use me. Some people don't really believe that about themselves. Some people down deep somehow feel like God couldn't possibly use me. There's not enough good in me for God to use. There's nothing to work with. And I'm just telling you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. There's plenty for God to work with. And God knows exactly what He's doing. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And He's got a good plan ahead on how to handle all that. So, let's let our mind be brought around to that consistently. We are what? Bought with a price? Know we not that we are not our own? I mean, we can look at all those scriptures that support that idea. We have been brought near to Him. Look at verse 13. I'm in chapter 2 of Ephesians, and we're old school today. I didn't give many verses for the screen. I don't even have my tablet notes. Man, I don't know, man. It's really moving bad, isn't it? I tell you. Just got the Bible. That's all today. The Bible's on my tablet, too. Just relax. Okay. But But let's look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made close by the blood of Christ. I'm his workmanship, and he's brought me close to him. So in being brought close to him, I have exposure to him now to be used in the way that honors him. Just stop for a second and think about that. You're his workmanship. Are you functioning in your mind today under the awareness that you are God's and he wants to use you? He has a reason. You're breathing because you have a reason to be here. God, in his wisdom, has brought you into this circle of relationships for a purpose. God has you right where you're living life on your block for a reason. You have a job that you're going to day in and day out and exposure to relationships because you're his workmanship created for Christ Jesus in that location. Some of you have kids, and you have kids because God's chosen that he wants to use you in relationship to how those kids end up developing in this life. I mean, that still staggers me. I'm going to cry if I'm not careful. I remember the first time feeling from a clear word from the Lord, I'm putting kids in your life, and I want you to influence them with the way I'm creating you, and it's going to affect them the rest of their life. And I remember crying out to God and saying, I'm not so sure I'm up for this. And he says, you're right, you're not. You let me do this. And are you in relationship with parents who still have need of love from you? Maybe it's flipping around now. I had a visit with, they're not here today, but I had a visit with John Nealis's parents this week. He's in an extended care facility right now. John Nealis's mom and dad were missionaries to, I want to say, it's not Korea, Vietnam, for I think 20 years, not 25 years. And they're in their low 80s now, you know, not able to do the things they used to do. And we were talking about the power of prayer and the privilege of prayer and the relationship we have with God. And you know, they're aware. They still have a purpose in interceding in the kingdom. I just spent last week some time with an 88-year-old minister who thinks in many respects he's kind of lost the influence he once had on people's lives in the body of Christ, but he's fully aware of the power of prayer and the purpose of prayer and aware that as long as he's breathing, he has a huge impact in the kingdom of God from that perspective. So is there ever a time that you're really not useful to God as his workmanship as long as you're living in this life? And I'd say to you, no. You are useful to the master unto every good work. But as long as we're not convinced that it's for him, we'll lose sight of that. As long as we don't have a clear understanding that we're his, we'll lose sight of that. But then you also see in that little verse, you are his workmanship, created for good works. And what are those good works supposed to look like? We'll get to that in a minute. But the issue of the purpose has to be intact here for us. I'm his, and he has a purpose for me. Have you given much thought to that lately? What's his purpose for you? What are the good works he wants you to be about? God has a reason for you being here, so how are you giving some time in your mind to that? Well, let's just move quickly off that point, because we kind of covered that together with the first and moved to the last thought I have. And really kind of mushroom out that idea, what are those good works supposed to look like? I mean, are my good works supposed to look exactly like your good works? I mean, we can say there's some clear, identical fulfill the purposes behind the good works. In other words, God wants to use my good works to fulfill the same principle as he might want to use your good works to fulfill. In other words, to honor his name would be an example of that. All of your good works and all of my good works ought to both honor his name, right? Or maybe to further the gospel of the kingdom. Well, my good works and your good works are in some way going to be tied to that. Or maybe it's to encourage a brother or sister. Your good works and my good works are going to both supposed to be headed in that direction. You get it? But what those are in the process, we're going to all end up being a barn, but some of us might have steel and some of us might have wood in the process. You get what I'm saying? So let's break that down a little bit more. How does that look in your life? What are the good works God's called you to do? And I think so many times we work too hard on trying to be the same siding than we do on becoming the barn, so to speak. God doesn't want everything you do to look just like everything I do. He doesn't want everything you're called to do in the ministry of the kingdom to look exactly like everything I'm called to do in the ministry of the kingdom. You got to let that sink in for a second, because we live in the most comparing society in the world, where we constantly measure ourselves by the person next to us. And we measure our value and our quality and our acceptance by that. And that's not the way God intends it to be. God wants you, I'm not just trying to do a self-help seminar here, but I just want you to hear this. God wants you to be the best you He created to be, to fulfill His work in the kingdom. But He wants to use you in the process that He wants to use me in the process. It may not look exactly the same. So what is it supposed to look like? What are the good works of your life? And what are the good works of my life? And how do we come to grips with that? And how do we make application of that? And some of us get this idea, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. I don't have these gifts and I don't have that gift. What do you have? Sometimes we spend more time on what we think we can't do than what we can do. And what we really need to spend more time on is what we can do to the glory of God. So it's not about what you can't. I can never teach a Sunday school class. Charles Parker doing that. They're doing a good job with that. But I can't do that. Well, first of all, that may be true, may not be true. I don't know. That's up to the Lord, and you got to really hear Him. But if that is not true, then don't discard your inability to be useful to the master and to every good work just because you can't do that one thing. Oh, you're falling into the trap of the enemy if you do. Instead of thinking about the things you cannot do, think about the things that you can do. What can you do in the kingdom? Well, I just can't think of anything. Well, come on, let's have a meeting. I'll sit down with you. We'll find out what you can do. It's much easier than you really think. The real issue many times becomes about me really not wanting to be honest sometimes about the fact that I can do something for the cause of Christ. I can honor Him. I can be useful. Remember I said it's going to either make you feel really good or really bad earlier. You're going to feel really good that God can use me somehow, or you're going to feel bad because you don't really want to be used, and because you don't want to be used, now that excuse is gone. Because He's made you who you are, and He can do great things through you. What are the great things? Hey, there's another mess we got. Who gets to decide what a great thing is? We've been taught in this culture, the great things are the big, flamboyant, recognized by everybody thing. When the Scripture says, if you just give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, you've done it unto me. Maybe we're immobilized many times because we just got our mind on these big things, and they kind of freeze us. Connie and I were talking about that yesterday as we were discussing the work in the kingdom and how God's made us all, and we get to thinking about so much stuff that needs to be done for God to glorify His name, and so much work we want to be about, and we look at this daunting task in front of us that we feel like we could not possibly ever get done to the point that we would say, I've done enough. We never can get to that place. And so what happens eventually is, we just don't do anything. Have you ever had a big work list? I live in the big work list world. And when you have a really big work list, it can sometimes stifle you. You ever had that happen, Andy? Where the list becomes so big and there's so much on it that you're like a deer in headlights. What do I do now? It consumes you. I've had times when the list is so heavy and so long and so big that I'll be finding myself standing, staring out the glass window.
Yeah,
paralyzed. Because it's daunting, it's overwhelming. I just can't possibly get it all done. And as a result, I do nothing. The kingdom work can sometimes get like that. There's so much to do for God. How am I going to get all this done? It's like the story walking down the seashore with all the, you know, all the starfish. I got to save all these starfish. The problem is there's about a million of them on the seashore. Well, I won't live long enough to get all these things back in there trying to throw these things back in. But you pick up one and you toss one out there. Save that one. At least save that one. And somehow we've got to get our mind back to that as it relates to good works in Christ Jesus. That we don't get so overwhelmed and paralyzed by how great and elaborate it is. I've got some folks I know in the kingdom, everything's supposed to be the biggest, greatest, and world-changing event. And if it's not, you're somehow not really giving yourself to it. And I would say that it didn't all work that way. Somehow God just is really blessing and using those people who will just pick up one starfish and throw it back out there and know that you did that. And I think that there are going to be those times in your life, as my family well knows, they've heard me throughout the years, there are going to be those times in your life that you never feel like you're doing enough. It's funny, this Christmas, I just laugh because I have in the back of my mind this Christmas, we're sitting around the living room and I'm thinking, telling the family, we need to find a family that we can serve and minister to this Christmas season and make it be all about that and lay our lives down for them. And we just need to, I just feel like we need to serve somebody. And one of my kids says, yeah, because you never do that. Ha ha, and everybody starts laughing. And then it hit me, I guess, yeah, I guess that's what my life is about. It's supposed to be about that. I know that, but. But what hit me was the warped mentality that was beating me down in that statement. The warped mentality was, you're just never doing enough, you dirty, rotten, lazy bum of a person. That's the warped mentality of the enemy. Now, the other side of that is I shouldn't be patting my back thinking I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread either. I understand that. But I'm just saying to you that sometimes, as the workmanship of Christ Jesus unto good works, sometimes the enemy utilizes the paralyzing concept of you feeling like you've got to get it all done and change the whole world, that it puts you to the place that you don't get much done at all. Because you think you're not good enough. You've got nothing to offer. And that's just not true. Or else you've got a problem with what God says about you. God says he wants to use you. God says that he's made you in Christ Jesus unto good works. God says you've got something to offer through what he's done in you. And so maybe we can just kind of back up and say, I just need to pick up a few starfish. Well, what if I can't figure out the best way to do that? You know, one of the biggest things going on in the world today is this idea of you got to find your passion. Now, I say it that way because in some circles it's kind of been out of shape in my opinion. But what's that mean? What they're really saying is, well, how are you made? You know, what really causes you to feel joy and blessing and be able to do something? What honors the Lord the most in what you have to give, and you feel the joy of the Lord at work when that's going on? We all got different stuff, right? I mean, some people, they really like to teach, and they really get energy out of that. Some people, they really like to garden. Some people, they really like to, and you can pick out all these things that you really like to do in the way that you're wired. Well, what about starting with that? Can I do that in some way that glorifies God? Can I use that in some way to be a good work in the kingdom? Can I use that in some way to build the barn, so to speak, that I'm going to encourage a brother, or that I'm going to serve a brother or sister, or that I'm going to somehow build up the ministry of the kingdom in the lives of the people I'm touching? Can I just use those things that God's made me to be? I think God would have us to do that. And what about changing the world with that? Well, do I have to think about it that way? How about me just changing the world with that one starfish and letting God do it just one piece at a time? See, that's the way God works. And so in so doing, we fulfill the law of Christ. In so doing, we honor God through those little things. So there may be 1,000 things. I mean, I'm sitting here looking across the room, and I'm seeing different places you guys are plugged in life, and realizing these little bitty things all through life that God could be using. I have to do good works for the sake of the kingdom that would bless him. So I have this ability in me to kind of see that stuff. So if you're confused about what you can be used for in the kingdom of God to be a blessing to God, come talk to me. I'll give you some ideas real quick. You know, I'm not saying that's a thus says the Lord. I'm just saying I think you can find those things pretty quick. But I think you should seek the Lord. Let me kind of bring this to close as it relates to how we're all different. You know, I know that we all are built differently even. I mean, we have a similar frame, but the creativity of God is everywhere in this world, if you just look. Have you noticed not every tree looks exactly like every other tree? Have you noticed that every flower doesn't look exactly like every other flower? Should I go on and on and on? Every person doesn't look exactly like every person. No two fingerprints are the same. Have you ever considered the possibility that God did that intentionally? Isn't it amazing how you take two people that come together in a relationship and marriage? Most of the time, they're as different as night and day. Have you ever noticed how the core struggle of that relationship in a very short time becomes about how the other one thinks they need to make the other one more like them? And 99% of the struggles in a relationship revolve around that. They need to be more like me. They need to be thinking like me. They need to work like me, don't they, Tandy? They need to have a list like me. They need to... Don's like, no, no, no. We have these conversations a lot. Don and Tandy's just like Connie and I, only Connie's like Don and I'm like Tandy. And then, so we have these conversations a lot. How we think, and then we get struggled in our relationships sometimes because we think we're supposed to be just like the other person if we'd ever get it right. We're not. That's what we do, yeah. 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 Pam saying, no, you're supposed to be like me. Get your act together. That won't work either. That's exactly my point. That won't work either. Let me share with you a secular concept that I think you will know innately is true. There's a lot of different personalities. The way we even think about things and look at things are different. I think God did that intentionally. Not everybody is a sanguine. What's that mean? That personality type is enthusiastic, active, and social. Not everybody's like that, are they, Johnny? We don't know why. They ought to be sitting there. It'd be a lot more fun. That's right. That's what I'm saying. But we're not all like that. Not everybody is choleric, independent, decisive, goal-oriented, want to get it done. Not everybody's like that. Be nice, though, wouldn't Charles? Be nice that we were all just like that, you know? But we just can't get everybody to be like that. But I think God had a purpose in the way he made us different.
I think everybody should dance in the church, too.
I'm for that. Not everybody's melancholic. I can't even say it. Melancholic, thank you. That person's analytical, detail-oriented, deep thinker, a feeler. It wouldn't it be nice if everybody was like that, Carrie? But we're not all just like that. And that's good. It's called balance. And God wants us to understand He didn't make a mistake when He made you like one of these things. He didn't mess up. You are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Not everybody's phlegmatic. Relaxed, peaceful, quiet, like Dawn. But don't always get a whole lot done. Oops, I'm sorry. It's okay. It's okay, right? I'm good with it. Isn't this interesting? I mean, we can see how clear, right among us, right? How different these things are. And it's okay. So what do we do with that? Well, we find out how God can take that and use it to build the barn. How God can take that and not make me like Don, though, honestly, many times I wish I was more like Don. Or how He can take that and not make me more like Carrie, although many times I wish I was more like Carrie. We tend to see those areas that we're missing, right? And that instead of saying, God, please make me more like Carrie, or please make me more like Don, just to recognize the fact that we're different. Make me more like Charles. Make me more like Johnny. Just recognize the way we're different and say, that's a good thing. God, use who You made me to be to help build the barn. You know, there's some Bible on this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, some of y'all knew where I was going. Verse 12 we'll start with. I'm just going to go ahead and read it, though some of you are quoting it in your head, I'm sure. We'll start with verse 12. For as the body is one, it hath many members. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now are there many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I don't need you. Nor can the head to the feet, I can do without you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, they are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts, pretty parts, the nice looking parts, have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Wow, this is going to mess with some of your heads. You're thinking you're the person that doesn't necessarily have much to offer or much to give the body. And the Word of God is saying here, you're more important than those ones that seem to stand out like a sore thumb. We need you worse than any of the rest. So what becomes the issue? The issue becomes, God, I am your workmanship created in Christ Jesus with a purpose of good works. How do you want to do that through me? Just ask him. How do you want to do that through me? And let me give you a piece of advice. Let's let Charles be Charles and Johnny be Johnny and Carrie be Carrie and Don be Don. Let me be me. Let Cindy be Cindy and Jamel be Jamel. And let's quit acting like everybody else has got to somehow get to be like me. If we can get our hands around that, how beautiful is the body of Christ going to be in this place? But let's also keep intact with that. Every piece in part is important, and we need you. So if you're one of those that you're not the more prominent in appearance as it relates to the work of the body, and you think your part is insignificant and unneeded, you're wrong. We need you, and we need you desperately. All we need you to do is this. God, I am your workmanship in Christ Jesus. You made me for good works. How do you want me to do that? Is there something that, you know, kind of lights my fire, floats my boat, that you can somehow use to be a blessing to somebody or to serve somebody or to build the kingdom somehow or to give a message of encouragement or somehow lead to the message of Christ in their life? Would you, because those are all parts and components that we're all about, right? But is there some way I can be doing that that will bless you through some gift that I've got or something that you've made me to love or some personality trait that drives me? Can I somehow be useful unto the master? That's what the scripture says, unto every good work. You can. You can. Wouldn't it be good if we could just have that freedom among us and see that working in a deeper way among us? That's one of my prayers for this year, is that we at Living Hope, every one of us, would know that we matter as a part of the body, are needed, and that we will not let anybody else impose on us what they think we have to be and do, but that we will honestly seek God about what we will be and what we will do. And ask him to use us in that way. Boy, it's gonna. If that happens in your life, you're gonna be like a bird out of a cage. All of a sudden, it's gonna feel fun to serve God. I mean, there's these people that have this idea that if it's not burdensome and laborsome and difficult and like a pack of rocks on your back, then you're not really serving God. You're not suffering for Jesus. That's not the suffering he's talking about. Okay. The sufferings he's talking about is when I'm serving the Lord and somebody comes against me for it, okay? It's not the work for God that's supposed to feel like suffering. The scripture lets me know the work for God is supposed to feel like joy. And if the work that I'm doing for God doesn't feel like joy, it might be because I'm trying to be somebody I'm not. And I need to find out how I can be who God made me to be, but be intent and be honest about being that for him. His workmanship and good works. Let's pray. Father, I just feel like you're wanting to use this to encourage us today to be free. And he who the Son set free is free indeed. Oh God, I pray that you'd liberate us in our hearts and our lives to be honest about how we live our life with you and how we seek to honor you. And that we'd not ask anybody to be who we are, but we'd let you encourage them to know that they need to be who you made them to be. Created for good works in the kingdom. And they'd be about that business, finding how to do that to honor you. Guide us now as we just seek your face in prayer, as we worship you. And we seek to do that in a way that blesses your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close this morning in a different way. We are going to experience the Lord's Supper together. And why don't you come move the table for us, Tim? As they're coming to move the table, guys are over here for a reason. As I'm explaining some things and sharing some things, they're going to go ahead and experience the Lord's Supper together because they're going to help us the rest of the time. So really, the act of experiencing the Lord's Supper is an act of worship. You understand that, right? It's an act of worship to the Father for what He's accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. Offering the body of Jesus Christ for our sake. You guys, go ahead. Shedding the blood of Christ for our sake that He might bring us into a new covenant. That covenant which is based on the work of Jesus Christ alone for our relationship with Him. And so the scripture tells us when we take the bread and we take the cup, that as we do that, we're to do that in remembrance of Him, in honoring Him for that. So one of the ways we do that here at the church is we celebrate together as a group and worshiping together, and prayer together. Another way is we serve it individually. But today we're going to do that also as an act of worship. And so when the praise team begins the worship time, we're going to be worshiping the Lord. And during those, I think it's three songs they usually do, we want you to respond as led by the Holy Spirit to come and worship the Lord with whoever you feel God's leading you to worship the Lord with in this act together. And you'll do it anytime during a worship time. So in other words, I'm saying you don't have to develop a long line right away. It's okay. Just kind of move as the Spirit of God leads you. If a long line develops, that's okay too. There's no right or wrong on it. But make sure today, as you celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's a part of the worship experience. As we say, hey, we're going to worship today. Make it a part of the worship experience. And that we truly worship the Lord together. So let's pray as we prepare for that. Father, we want to thank You for what You've done in Christ Jesus. Drawing us near to Yourself. By the sacrifice and shed blood of His life. Making it possible that You could reside inside of us with Holy Spirit and speak to our spirit and make clear Your truth to us. We say thank You for that. So as we celebrate in song and worshiping You, today we also want to make crystal clear in our minds this remembrance of You is also a genuine act of worship. So let it be so in such a way that honors Your name today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. I will be up here in the front, as I usually am. If you have something you need to pray about, a lot of times folks feel like it's a pressing time and they don't want to miss it. I'll be here. You can come and ask me to pray with you if you have an issue to pray about and share some decision that you may need to share. But you also just respond as the Lord speaks to you to worship Him in the Lord's Supper and in song.